ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। वृत्रस्थु सकथं पापा सर्वलोकोपथापना इतं त्रितमथि कृष्ण आसीत् संग्राम उर्वने। वृत्रस्थु सकतं पापा सर्वलोकोपथापनः इतं त्रितमथि कृष्ण आसीत् संग्राम उल्बने।
Vṛtrasura was situated in the blazing fire of battle and was an infamous, sinful demon, always engaged in giving troubles and anxieties to others. How could such a demon become so greatly Krishna conscious? Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. It has been described that a Narayan Parayan, a pure devotee, is rarely found even among millions and millions of persons. Therefore, Parikshit Maharaj was surprised that Vṛtrasura, whose purpose was to give trouble and anxieties to others, was one of these devotees, even on the battlefield. What was the reason for Vṛtrasura's advancement?
Om Akyanti Mirandasya Dhyananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Kasmai Sri Gurave Namaha.
Sura was
Today we are reading from Canto 6 of Srimad Bhagavatam, Chapter 14, entitled King Chitraketu's Lamentation, text number 6. Parikshit Maharaj the great descendant of the Pandavas, who had the supreme fortune of directly seeing Krishna and feeling Krishna's love within the womb of his mother, who from the moment of his birth was searching for Krishna. Like a wealthy person who had lost his treasure in life, he saw Krishna. Now he was born into the royal dynasty, the sole survivor of the Pandava dynasty, who was soon to be enthroned as the next emperor of the world. But he was like a man who had a fortune and lost it all, because he could no longer see Krishna. He longed, he prayed for that treasure to return. And wherever he went throughout his life, he was observing, watching, looking for Krishna. Krishna tells in Gita, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for him I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. If we're looking for Krishna, we will see Krishna everywhere. In separation, within our heart, we see. When Krishna was in Vrindavan, the gopis were seeing him with their eyes. But after he left for Mathura and then Dwarka, they could not see him with their eyes. But in their separation, they were seeing him within their heart. And therefore, everywhere they looked, at every leaf of every tree, every flower, every house, every person, they remember Krishna. In remembering Krishna, we see Krishna internally. To always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna is the process by which we see Krishna. This is the very essence of bhakti, how to remember Krishna. All of the 9 processes of devotional service are ways in which we can intimately remember Krishna. By offering the fruits of our activities to Krishna, according to our particular position in the Varnashram Dharma, that is a preliminary state of devotional service. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was told in Udupi by some of the leaders there that the path of perfection is to perform one's duties according to Varnashram for the pleasure of the Lord, the Lord considered, yes, but that is not the real perfection. That is external bhakti. And he quoted Prahlad Maharaj, what the real aim of life is and how to achieve it. Saravanam kirtanam smaranam padasevanam archanam bandhanam dasyam sakyam atmanivedanam. These 9 processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing, chanting, and remembering. Because in following these 9 processes of devotional service under proper guidance, we absorb ourselves and always remembering Krishna. All the rules, all the regulations of all the scriptures are all meant to serve these 2 cardinal principles. To always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially taught the most honest and effective way of cultivating this remembrance of Krishna in a mood of separation. Because we cannot see him everywhere with our eyes, but if we're searching for him, if we're looking for him, we remember him. When you're longing to see someone, that remembrance is very powerful. It can distract your mind away from everything else. not just a casual remembrance. In ordinary religious ritual, we may not remember at all. We may be thinking of something completely selfish or material while we're performing our puja. But when there's actually the pang of separation, then whether we're performing a ritual or not, we'll be absorbed in remembrance. So this is the great mercy Parikshit Maharaj received. Before he was even born to see the light of the world, he saw Krishna. Before he saw his mother or his father or the light of the day, he saw Krishna. The womb is a very dark place. I don't remember specifically, but it seems that it would be a very dark place. 9 months in the womb of a mother. During the last duration of that confinement, the embryo is conscious, seeing, feeling, tasting, aware of the pleasures and pains it's undergoing, completely bewildered. In that womb, the Brahmastra was coming right at Parikshit Maharaj to kill him. A very sensationalistic abortion, to say the least. Ashwatthama was determined to kill. And he was so expert. He could take a weapon like a Brahmastra that had the power to destroy an entire planet and direct it specifically at an embryo in a womb, and it wouldn't even harm the mother. He was a real yogi. So the Brahmastra was coming. The child couldn't do anything. The child didn't know what is what. But his mother, Uttara, she loved her child. She would give her life a million times in a second to protect her child. And she was helpless. Similar to Draupadi. When Draupadi was in a very dangerous condition of life, about to lose that which was more sacred to her than anything else, her chastity. Because her chastity was a very intimate and integral part of her identity with her husband's. For a woman to violate chastity is the ultimate offense against the husband. And for someone like Draupadi, to offend the husband, to offend God, is worse than death. So, she was praying, but she was helpless. But she cried out with Krishna with such feeling that Krishna came to save her. Uttara is in the same situation. Her own child, her only child, was about to be killed. And there was no question of another child, because her husband was already dead. And there was no question that she would ever remarry. So that was it. She wants to be a mother. It's it. It's the one and only chance. Husband's dead. She cried to Krishna. And this is a very philosophical principle. That we are covered in the darkness of ignorance. Om agyan timirandasya gyananjanachalaka chakshurun militam yena tasmai sri guruve namah. The conditioned soul is like in the womb of material nature. In the womb of ignorance. In great darkness. Where there is danger at every step. So many inflictions will come upon us. What is our possibility of approaching God? But when the great souls, like Uttara, prayed to save her son, if great souls pray for us, bestow their mercy upon us, then Krishna will come and save us too. But then we have to be willing to be saved. That is the principle. At the Pune Yatra, our dear Gaurvani Prabhu, who made us dance and sing so joyfully with his kirtans, at the end, if you remember, he was expressing very sincerely from his heart that the only reason I'm a devotee at all, or I am where I am, was due to the prayers of my mother. Do you remember? He meant it. He's grateful. He was born a devotee, but he was distracted, like so many people when they reach their teenage years in America. But despite how hard he tried, his mother's prayers attracted Krishna to pull him back into a joyful, blissful life of Krishna consciousness. And he knows that. And he's grateful. Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they asked Prabhupada, what was our qualification for coming to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, which is directing us to Goloka Vrindavan? He said, you had no qualification. I made your qualifications. Anjala Dutta, he was praying to Krishna to be an instrument to save us. He was praying to Krishna to speak through him to enlighten our hearts. In the darkness of the womb of material existence, he prayed and Krishna appeared. That is the reality. So Prahlad Maharaj, he describes the 9 processes of devotional service to his father. In this sense, Hiranyakashipu was really in the darkness of ignorance. And what saved him? Not his mother's prayers, not his father's prayers, his son's prayers. After Prahlad describes the 9 processes of devotional service, he explains to Hiranyakashipu that really the only possible way to follow these 9 principles of bhakti properly, Naishamati stavat urukramangri sprishatyana tapakamo yatartha. Mahiyasam padarajo vishekam viskinchananam navraniti yavat. One must have the blessings of great souls. Narada Muni prayed for Prahlad. Prahlad prayed for Hiranyakashipu. Srila Prabhupada's praying for all of us. This is a disciplic succession of being prayed for. If we take the dust of the feet of the great souls and make that our life and soul, that means by becoming the servant of the servant of the servant, then Krishna will enter into the dark womb of our consciousness and give us light. That is the path back to Godhead. And actually, there's no other way. Rupa Goswami tells that how does one really come to the path of devotional service? We can give so many explanations, but in essence, it comes down to only one thing. Nobody can come to the path of devotional service without receiving the mercy of a Vaishnava. Parikshit Maharaj received so many blessings. And he was a perfect person. He ruled the kingdom in such a way that he made the world Krishna conscious. And even Kali had to stand back. What a soul he was. We see today how much influence Kali has over this planet. What is the power of Kali? Tremendous energy. Here is one man that forced Kali down to his knees to bow his head, and who could not, he had to beg Parikshit Maharaj, give me somewhere. I have, as long as you're king, there's no place for me. I can't even enter into a cell, into an amoeba, as long as you're king. Give me some place, because I need somewhere to rule. I'm a so-called Kshatriya too. Parikshit Maharaj says, wherever illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating are, that's your kingdom. You can rule and control over anyone who's doing that. What was Kali's response? There's no such thing as those sinful activities in this world, as long as you're king. Nobody would ever dare to do that. Everyone's Krishna conscious. So still, there's no place for me to go. You can wreak the havoc of quarrel and hypocrisy, and through that process, degenerate religious principles, create conflict, war, hatred, envy, and all other vices. To your heart's content, wherever there is the greed for wealth, greed for gold. And we see how due to this greed, so many sinful activities are coming in this world. And so much fighting and hatred and envy. Yesterday, a very, very, very wealthy person was speaking to me who was in another country and said, in the villages, the people are so poor, but they look so peaceful and happy. Arrivo. That's because they're not greedy. Whatever little they have, they share with each other and they're happy. Narada Muni, he cursed Nala Kuvera and Manigriva to become trees out of his mercy. Srila Prabhupada explains very nicely how wealth, greed for wealth, is such a source of misery. We think we need more. With wealth comes prestige and power, and we want more and more. But as long as we're using it for our own selfish purposes, we're just taking a noose or a rope around our neck and we're just pulling it tighter and tighter and tighter with every paisa we get. Unless we're using it in God's service. That is a fact. But Kali keeps us in this delusion, this illusion. Simple living, high thinking is what Krishna consciousness is about. Factually, Parikshit Maharaj was emperor of the world, as was Yudhisthira, but they lived a life of simple living, high thinking. They didn't have greed for anything. They didn't have attachment. They used it all for Krishna. They used it all for the benefit of others. And they had what they had. And they used it properly for their family as well. But there was no pride or no greed. These things kill. They murder. They terrorize. They slaughter the good qualities of the soul. Hare Krishna. Radha Gopinath are expert at special effects in this time. So Narada Muni was so merciful to Manigriva and Nala Kuvera that he took them from the beautiful bodies of demigods and the heavenly planets, the sons of Kuvera, which means they had access to all the wealth of their father, the treasurer of the heavenly worlds. They were enjoying the most beautiful women and having so many facilities in every way to just enjoy. And the next moment, they had the bodies of trees. No more nice heavenly flesh, but bark as flesh. Nobody could look at their eyes. They had all these arms all over the place, struggling all over. Arjun trees, they're not very beautiful trees. If you've ever seen them. For 100 years, to live as trees. Hare Krishna. And when they actually, in that state, when they saw Krishna, if they saw Krishna as Manigriva and Nala Kuvera, they probably would have made an aparadha to him. Yes, because they were too puffed up. Duryodhana saw Krishna, and he just made aparadhas. Shishupal saw Krishna. Dantavakra saw Krishna. Dushasana saw Krishna. So many people, Hiranyakashipu saw Krishna. Kamsa saw Krishna. Unless we have the consciousness of humility and devotion, even if you see Krishna with your eyes, you will not appreciate. Because Krishna reveals himself according to our service attitude. So as trees, they were really humbled. They couldn't even walk. Can you imagine? It's one thing to be a tree with the consciousness of a tree. But they had the full consciousness of demigods
with the body of a tree. Imagine that. They were accustomed to flying around on their flower airplanes anywhere they wanted, doing anything they wanted, eating anything they wanted, drinking anything they wanted. Every comfort in the world was theirs. You know, sometimes, even as a little human being, you have very little facility in comparison to do anything. But if you hurt your back and the doctor says, lay in your back bed rest for 8 weeks. It's a long 8 weeks. Yes? Can't do it. You can't move. Can't get up. So many things you want to do. Or you may have to fast for some time. Just drink water. That's all trees get to eat, right? They were eating fine heavenly foods, and now all of a sudden all they get is just water that falls from the sky. And if there's no water, if it doesn't rain, you just wait. They had the full consciousness of demigods. Beautiful ladies are walking by and they're... Nothing. They don't even look at them. Here they are, big demigods, respected by the other devas as the sons of Kuvera. And now dogs are coming and passing urine on them. You're laughing, but they were not laughing. They had to get used to this new lifestyle. It's culture shock. But then they got to see Krishna. And they were so much purified by the experience of suffering and pain that even in the bodies of trees they were watching Krishna's Leela. They couldn't even speak. Can you imagine? You can't speak. You can't move. Just stand in the monsoons and the cold winters. And winters are cold in Vrindavan. Summers are hot. People are coming onto you to get... But there's no shelter. Very difficult. But they praise Narada Muni. He was so kind. He freed us from our greed for wealth so that we were actually receptive, that when we saw you, we could know you, we could love you, and we could surrender to you. Parikshit Maharaj, this was his power. Single-handedly, he subdued Kali, had him bowing his head at Parikshit Maharaj's feet. And he was not just a ruler who sat at an office. He regularly traveled the entire planet, personally, to make sure everyone was satisfied, to make sure spiritual principles were being upheld, and to uproot the evil. Such a king. And he was cursed to die for a small mistake. But like so many stories in the Bhagavatam, it really was only apparently a mistake. Ultimately, it was Krishna's will. How is Parikshit Maharaj, who was so totally self-controlled, who was so compassionate to all living beings, who was such a protector of the Brahmins, why would he become angry at a Brahmin? just because he was thirsty. Yes? It was completely out of his character. It was really out of his character. And he didn't do anything so wrong. But he just considered that this Brahmin is impudent. He's not welcoming a guest that comes to his house. You didn't even give me a garland. Well, here's a garland for you. And he put a dead snake on his shoulders. And for that, Sringi, the son of Samigrishi, cursed him to die in 7 days. Kali somehow or other got right into that son and made that curse so that he could rule. Parikshit Maharaj actually was just a puppet of the Lord to make that mistake for a higher purpose. Srimad Bhagavatam, the crest jewel of all knowledge, was to be spoken by Shukadev Goswami. And Krishna wanted to set the scene in the most exciting, dramatic possible way so that people would take this message very seriously. I have been told by capitalists of this country and others who are in propagating various consumer goods that advertising and packaging is such an important part of convincing people to buy a product. Yes? Well, Krishna wants everyone, as many people as possible, to take the Srimad Bhagavatam seriously. So he set the stage. He created this package where the king of the whole planet was cursed to die in 7 days. What is he going to do? Yes? Now, if George Bush was cursed to die in 7 days, but he's only the king of, not even the king. In a couple years, he's gone. Right? King means for life. He's just, 8 years. And the majority of the country and the world do not have so much love for him. If he was to be cursed to die in 7 days, it probably wouldn't be such big news anyway. So I delete that example. But Parikshit Maharaj was loved by everyone. This is amazing. What is he going to do? He gives up everything. He goes to the bank of the Ganges at Shukatal. Have any of you been to Shukatal? Krishnananda Prabhu, you have been everywhere. It's a very nice place. There's a banyan tree there, and that is where Shukadev Goswami spoke to Parikshit Maharaj. And this was such a dramatic event that all the rishis, the sages, and all the learned people from the entire universe came to that place to be with the king as he was going to die. And there he inquires from Sukadev Goswami. Now, Srila Prabhupada explains, and the acharyas say the same, that Parikshit Maharaj had so much power, he could have counteracted that curse if he wanted to. He was not an ordinary being. He could have punished Sringi, that foolish boy, for this curse. But he sought no retaliation. He wanted no revenge. He didn't even want to protect himself from dying. In fact, he considered this an opportunity. life is not, Shukadeva Goswami tells him in the second canto, human life is not meant for quantity. Better one moment of full consciousness than to live a long life without. So, yes, Parikshit Maharaj welcomed the curse as the grace of God. Tatenu kampam susamikshamano bunjana evatmikritam vipagam haridvagvapur vir vidadam namaste jivetya muktipate sadayavak. This is Krishna's grace. He's trying to help me. And he wanted to utilize every moment of that 7 days for the highest purpose, to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. He received the blessings of so many great devotees. And he sat at the feet of Sukadeva Goswami. And presented himself as a most fallen, ignorant person. Although he was so learned, so Krishna conscious, he didn't think anything good of himself. He simply humbled himself. That is the quality of a great soul. Parikshit Maharaj is sitting there on Mother Ganga's bank in the presence of Vyasadev, Narada Muni, Vasishtha Muni, Vishwamitra Muni, Devala Muni, Bhadraj Muni, Angira Muni, Agastya Muni, all the great celebrities, they were all there. They have these Bollywood events where all the big stars gather together. I see in the hoarding star-studded event where they're there and have, oh, they look, that's, I don't know the names of any of your people, I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, actually, I'm very happy. But I don't know the name of a single Bollywood person. As far as Hollywood, I know some people from the 1960s, but that's... But I'm safe because most of them are either old or dead. But if you go to such an event, oh, look, there's that pearl. And look, at there she is. You know who that is? Yes, of course I know who that is. It's very, when there's some kind of social event and all these big, big, big people are there that are so world famous and so great. Quite thrilling experience, isn't it? Well, can you imagine? Every great sage and rishi from the Puranas, whatever time they lived, even if they lived 1,000,000 years ago, they still came. They were all there. Look, it's Vyasadeva. Live in person. And there were thousands of such rishis. Who we read about, who we hear about, who we pray for. The gurus of the greatest personalities that ever lived, they were all there. It's amazing. All out of love for Parikshit Maharaj. Such blessings. So we find Parikshit Maharaj totally engrossed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. A little later, when he comes, he's going to tell Shukadeva Goswami that previously, this is in 10th canto actually, previously, when I was just a few hours, I had no water, I was so thirsty that I made that mistake and offended Samik Rishi. But here, I have not had a drop of water or any food for many, many days. And I haven't even slept.
And I'm not feeling the slightest bit of hunger, thirst, or fatigue. Because I'm being nourished by the flow of nectar that's coming from your mouth in the form of the narrations of Krishna Katha. He was absolutely absorbed in Krishna Katha. The best way to remember Krishna is to be absorbed in Krishna. Krishna consciousness is about absorption. Absorbing our minds, our hearts, our consciousness in Krishna. When we're performing devotional service, if we do it casually, there'll be minimal purification, mere minimal benefits to us, and we give minimal pleasure to Krishna. Because Krishna doesn't want the thing we do. Krishna wants our consciousness. Because our love is about our consciousness. So we should absorb ourselves. And Prabhupada was expert. Srila Prabhupada taught us that if you're really striving to do your service the best you possibly can, then you're absorbed in your service. Whatever we're doing, we should do it with our full heart, with our full consciousness, because it's for Krishna. If you're making a garland for Krishna, absorb yourself. Make it the best way for Krishna. Krishna is not pleased with how the garland looks. Krishna is pleased with the attitude in which you make the garland. If you're offending other people while you're making your garland, it may look beautiful to the eyes of mundane people. But Krishna, if you offend others, if you take flowers away from them for your garland, and you have the best malati, mogra, lotus, rose, all those things, put it on Krishna, it's a garland of thorns for him. Because you had a thorny consciousness pricking others. Yes? But if you have a soft consciousness, in a mood of servitude, servant of the servant of the servant, and you're absorbed in that spirit, then even if the garland's only some dry leaves, Krishna will smell malati and mogra and lotus and roses, and it will be soft and fresh. Because Krishna is bhavagrahi. He accepts our consciousness, our service attitude. So we want... And when we speak about garlands, we're speaking about every type of service. If you're cooking, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Jagadananda Pandit was fasting because Lord Chaitanya would not accept sense gratification from him in the form of a pot of very expensive sandalwood oil that was supposed to massage Lord Chaitanya's body. Mahaprabhu said, give it to Lord Jagannath. Jagadananda Pandit said, I never meant it for you anyway. Broke the pot. Just huffed off. Went into his room, closed it, locked it. Fasted. Just laid down and fasted. It was like on strike. Vaishnavera kriya mudra vigina bujai. We cannot understand Vaishnavas. If any of you do that, you're in big trouble. Jagadananda Pandit does that, and he's one of the greatest acharyas. Yes, he's Prem Vivarta. He writes wonderful books that Vaishnavas are still reading today. You see, if you do that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will just ignore you.
But Jagadananda Pandit does it. Lord Chaitanya comes to his house and pleads with him, please. He knows Lord Chaitanya couldn't get him to eat, no matter what. The only way he could get him to eat is if he cooked for Lord Chaitanya, and then he would get his remnants. So Lord Chaitanya loves his devotee so much. He said, Jagadananda, he had to call through the door because the door was locked. He said, Jagadananda, today at noon I'm coming to your house for lunch, so prepare lunch for me. Anyway, Jagadananda Panna was very happy because he could give Lord Chaitanya sense gratification. You could make really good preparations. He made so many nice preparations. And Lord Chaitanya ate. And Lord Chaitanya would usually just take a little. He was playing the role of a sannyasi. But it said, out of fear of Jagadananda Pandit, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu kept eating more and more. And Jagadananda Pandit kept giving him more and more and more and more. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was afraid to say no. Because if he said no, Jagadananda Pandit might start fasting again. And when Jagadananda fasts, that's very difficult for the Lord. That was the reciprocation of the nature of their love. So, I forgot where I was going. Absorption, yes. Gopinath Chandra Prabhu is absorbed in this class. So, Jagadananda Pandit was so absorbed that when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was eating his prasad, Lord Chaitanya said that Jagadananda Pandit's cooking is so sweet and so nectarine, even when he's in an angry mood. Yes? But if you're in an angry mood at some other devotee and you're cooking, it's going to taste like poison to Krishna. Because Krishna's tasting your consciousness. It's not just the sabji and the spices. It's the absorption in how you make it that is pleasing to Krishna. And that applies to every type of devotional service. The substance of a society of devotees is when devotees really live with this spirit. Devotees aren't just trying to get some cheap adoration, some cheap position, some cheap prestige. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he saw that in a spiritual society, even like Gaudiya Math, if people are after this, it just, the whole substance of bhakti is compromised drastically. So he gave a drastic example. He said the prestige of this world should be seen as the stool of a boar. We won't go into any details. Cow dung is very pure. Pig dung, it's not pure at all. And boar dung, it's not even acceptable by the pigs. So in a spiritual society, you know, the substance of the devotional attitude that we're all trying to develop is of the essence. That's what will ultimately attract the conditioned souls to the path of bhakti, when they see genuineness. Individual and collective, people are genuine. They're really striving to be humble. They're really striving to please Krishna through a proper service attitude. not trying to show off to each other or control each other or manipulate each other or exploit each other or be untruthful to each other for those purposes. But they're simple. A Vaishnava is simple. A Vaishnava's pleasure is to chant Hare Krishna, to take a little prasad and to serve. And we can do so many other things. Prabhupada was like that. He was so simple. Simplest man anyone had ever seen. But yet, to protect Krishna's interest, he was just unbelievably wise and proficient in everything he did. But his motivation was completely simple. Because he wanted nothing for himself. He just wanted to help others and please Krishna and his guru. That's all. So although he was the world acharya, although in Juhu he had to do all sorts of, you know, legal manipulations and everything like that, just so that Radharas Bihari would have their temple, he had to do so many things to avoid his devotees being cheated. He had to organize an entire society. He engaged himself in many complicated situations, and he did it with such efficiency, proficiency, and everything else. But he was totally simple because his motivation was nothing for himself. His motivation was simply to please Krishna, to serve the Vaishnavas, and to be an instrument of Krishna's compassion for the conditioned souls. That's what simplicity is about. It's about our motivations. Yudhisthira Maharaj was a king. What's simple about sitting on a throne and wearing a golden crown with the most valuable jewels on earth? Yes, usually they put the most valuable jewels on earth in the emperor's crown. Does that look simple? If Krishnananda Prabhu would come in with a beautiful jeweled crown and silken robes with gold embroidery and wonderful necklaces of pearl, emeralds, diamonds, rubies, and earrings. Probably everyone would say, he's finished. Okay? Because usually if somebody's living in such conditions, and wherever Yudhisthira would go, it's not that he would just walk around barefoot. Wherever he would go, there would be marching bands and entourages and Brahmins chanting mantras. Just if he would go to the river to bathe, there would be Brahmins chanting mantras and slokas, and there would be people playing instruments, and there would be beautiful girls dancing, and everybody would be, the whole kingdom would be lining the streets to see the king going to take his bath. Simple living, high thinking. Factually, it was. Even though in that circumstance, in that environment, he was totally simple. Because his service attitude was pure. He just wanted to please Krishna. He didn't want to exploit anyone else. He didn't want to take any credit. He was just doing it for Krishna. Doing it for the welfare of the citizens. For him to give it up would have been false ego, if Krishna wants him to do it. Priyavrat, he was living on a mountain with Narada Muni as a sadhu. Lord Brahma says, become the king. And you have to do all that stuff. Entourages wherever you go, getting married, having children, royal palace, so many complicated organizing armies, taxing the citizens, making laws. Priyavrat did it because that's what pleased Krishna. And no attachments except to please Krishna. So Krishna is bhavagrahi. It is this service attitude that is all important. And that is what we are concerned with. In the long run, it's your service attitude that people will appreciate. Not just the cheap sensations of what you can do today or tomorrow. So in everything we do, we should really try to absorb ourselves in a service attitude. And in that spirit, when we do these nine processes of devotional service, it will have tremendous effect on awakening our Krishna consciousness. As we were explaining yesterday, Krishna consciousness is so rare because you cannot attain it. It's given to you. All you could do is be receptive to receive it by your humility and your service attitude and your determination to follow the principles no matter what. In that soft-hearted spirit, then Krishna and the Vaishnavas give you their blessings. That is the power that conquers Maya. It's not our sense control. It's not our knowledge. It's the blessings and mercy of Guru, Krishna, and the Vaishnavas that can conquer Maya. And we must not just pretend to get those blessings. Those blessings actually come according to our service attitude, according to our sincerity. Sincerity means in no ulterior motives, that you really want something for the right purpose without ulterior motives. So Parikshit Maharaj, he was absorbed in this mood. And therefore, when he was listening to Krishna Katha, there was not even a thought of hunger or thirst. He was being empowered beyond his own capacity and abilities. In this particular verse, Parikshit Maharaj is utterly enthralled by the mystery of this narration. It's really a mystery. It's the greatest of mysteries. Whatever mysteries are in the bookshelves of the bookstores today are nothing compared to this. This is really a mystery. Vritrasura. But the difference is, this is non-fiction. This is history. Fabulous story. How Krishna sets the philosophy in, like a jewel set in a golden ring, Krishna sets the jewel of his philosophy in such a beautiful, beautiful environment. Yes? Just so that people will really be eager to hear it. The story is so fascinating, even if you're not philosophical. But if you read the story without even knowing it, you've heard the philosophy that evolved. Indra, that great personality who was the leading demigod of the heavenly planets, he falls victim to fear due to some attachment to his position. Due to some false pride, he didn't recognize and offer honor to his guru when he came in. And because of that, he lost everything. And then a whole series of events took place of how to get everything back. And ultimately, because of his aparads, the demons, the Asura race conquered him. And then he goes to Vishwarupa, yes? Vishwarupa is a very amazing personality. And he helps, Lord Brahma tells him, go to Vishwarupa. He goes to Vishwarupa. Vishwarupa gives him the abilities to get his kingdom back. But because Vishwarupa was a very, very neutral person, he was kind to everyone, he offered a little oblation for his relatives, the Asuras. And what does Indra do? Cuts his heads off. All right, Krishna. So Tvastha, yes, was father of Vishwarupa. He's a very powerful Brahmin. He doesn't have to go to the police and file a report. He just does a yajna and just makes an oblation, and out of the fire comes Vritrasura. Instantly. Massive demon. Ugly as anything. So fearful. When he roared, the earth shook. He was so huge, he covered the sky, that he was trampling the demigods like ants under his feet. Hare Krishna. They'd throw their weapons at him, and he would just... He didn't even fight against their weapons. He just like just shooing a mosquito away. That was the power of Vritrasura. And he totally conquered Indra. Indra was absolutely defeated internally because he threw his club at Vritrasura. Vritrasura just effortlessly just threw it back. Just caught it and threw it back. And it knocked down Indra's elephant, Airavata, and made him vomit blood, fell to the ground, and Indra just gave up. It's hopeless. How can I fight this monster? Huh? And Parikshit Maharaj is listening to this amazing variation. And then in that situation, when Indra's, like Arjuna in Kurukshetra, just completely emotionally drained, fearful, not fearful. Arjuna wasn't fearful. He was just emotionally drained and he just gave up. Indra was, due to fear, he was in that state. Arjuna, due to compassion, he was in that state. And just as Krishna spoke to Arjuna, Vritrasura preached the same philosophy to Indra. Perfect Vaishnava Siddhanta. With such deep realizations. Amazing. Parikshit's listening. All of a sudden, this demon is preaching Hari Katha. And then he's telling Indra how he could kill him. And then on the base, empowered by Vritrasura's Katha, Indra fights. And Vritrasura just... is eager to die so that he can go back to Godhead. You are attached to living in this material world. You're a fool. But myself, I'm attached to dying so I can go back to Godhead. So you're meant to win me and rot in this material world. I'm meant to lose this battle and go back to Godhead. In winning, you'll lose. In losing, I'll win. That's essentially what was being said. So Vritrasura is totally Christian.